Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And this evening, our special guest is Pastor David Whitney. But before we get on to Pastor Whitney, I just wanted to share with you something I've been thinking of. You know, for the last few days, we've seen over and over and over and over again on television, radio, newspapers, magazines, the story of a lawyer who went off to Europe to get married, who had antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis, married this beautiful girl, then flew back to the United to Canada and came in across the border in a car. Now, first of all, why make such a big issue out of a story about one person with antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis? There are a lot of cases of it around. It's increasing in frequency. Why is this one case so important? Well, the CDC can't find out what row he sat in on the airplanes. Why not? I mean, certainly the airlines has that information. Why can't the CDC find that out? How could it be that his father-in-law is an expert on antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis? I mean, how many fathers would want their daughter to marry somebody with antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis until they were sure he wasn't contagious, and now we find out he wasn't contagious? And what is this all about? And it's all about the fact that they've held congressional hearings, and we've got to have a lot more monitoring of everybody so that we're not endangered by people with drug-resistant tuberculosis. And the answer is a whole new series of government laws and regulations, and they've been focusing our attention on this issue for that very reason. And as Edward Bernays said, you know, the intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society, and those who control this essential element of society are an invisible government that constitute the true ruling class. We are governed, our minds are molded, our ideas, our tastes are created, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And when you hear these things discussed on television, and they don't quite make sense, and you're wondering what it's all about, understand that it all gets back to total regulation of the individual, the creation of a world governing unit. And of course, we're going to have to control people all throughout the world who are traveling, and of course, eventually, there will be no more freedom. But they're using this, I mean, it's a beautiful example of how they would use one issue and repeat it over and over again. But, of course, it all gets back to more government control. Well, we're going to be talking with David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney, about the whole idea of our form of government, our Constitution, which was to limit the power of government. Because liberty and limited government are synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous, and there really are people who want tyranny. They want to regulate everything you do, but remember, it's always for your own good. We're from the government. We're here to help. Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Dr. Stan. And you're absolutely right. Our founders feared governments that would have absolute kind of control, and they knew that human beings are sinful. That is, even the best of human beings, even Christians, are not perfected in their nature yet.
Hold that thought right there. Go right ahead.
And so all human beings being sinners, none of them, not one human being, is to be trusted with unlimited power. And therefore they constructed very carefully our form of civil government in order that checks and balances between the three branches of government would take place. And even beyond those three branches, the jury would be sort of a fourth branch that could check all three branches of government. And then not to be limited just to one level of government. They created four levels of government, and each of those levels was to be a check and balance against the other, because they knew if you allow any human being to have unlimited, unchecked power, that person will abuse that power and ultimately seek to enslave other human beings so that they can profit from those other human beings. Well, speaking of slavery, as we've been walking through the Bill of Rights and having concluded that study, we're now into the section of the amendments to the Constitution. Last time we took some time to examine the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery in 1865, just following the war to prevent Southern independence. I think that's probably the best term for it, because that war was very much like our war for independence, our first war for independence, where we declared ourselves independent from Great Britain and had the right to establish our own government. So the states that gathered together in the Confederacy likewise said that they had a right, a God-given right, to establish their own government. Well, basically Lincoln said to them, the only way you can leave this Union is in a body bag. And he proceeded to show them with the bloodiest war that has ever been in the history of our country. And the outcome of that was to abolish slavery, although slavery was not the primary issue. Read President Lincoln's first inaugural address, and he makes it very clear there. He never intended to touch the institution of slavery, and it only became a issue when politically he was losing ground during the war that he then turned to making slavery the issue. Well, this 13th Amendment only abolished slavery. It did not abolish segregation or discrimination. And that was clearly understood in the years following the 13th Amendment's ratification. But the twisting of the 13th Amendment has taken place in the 60s, 1968 particularly, the case that overturned that original view of the 13th Amendment, in this case Jones v. Mayer. The Congress, the idea here is that Congress now has power over the states to tell them they cannot practice any form of discrimination or segregation.
All right, hold on, though. We'll be right back here with David Whitney. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David is simply talking about the 13th Amendment, and what people don't understand is that the first 10 amendments were aimed at limiting the power of the central authority of the federal government over the lives of the people. But as time went by, there were always those out there who wanted to expand the power of the central government, because they always have wanted a dictatorship. The ultimate plan was that America was to lead the world into this new world order, new world religion, so you would have to have a powerful executive branch of government. So along comes the 13th Amendment, originally passed, having to do only with slavery. And then as time goes by, well, they begin to change its meaning without, of course, amending the Constitution. But the whole idea is now more power with the federal government, and step by step by step, they've been expanding the power of the central authority ever since then. So pick up the story there, David.
Well, many people would say, you know, David, why would you object to, you know, Congress outlawing segregation or discrimination? Shouldn't, you know, those are bad things. Shouldn't that take place? And I might agree with that, but I would disagree with the federal government having that kind of power. You see, the design that most people don't remember, they have heard of the three branches of government supposed to be check and balance against each other, but they've never heard that the levels of government are also supposed to be a check against one another's powers. That is, the federal government has a check upon its power by the state government, the level below it. And actually not below it, you could say the state powers are equal to, in some senses they were designed to be greater than, the federal government's power. And the states were designed to keep the federal government's power in check, to force the federal government to stay within the limits of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And this misinterpretation of the 13th Amendment strikes at the heart of that. It says, no, that if there's discrimination taking place in your state, not a state issue. The state can't resolve it on their own. They can't pass legislation. They can't enforce legislation. They can't use the court system of the state to see that justice is done in their state. No, we, the federal government, are going to determine what is just, and we're going to force it upon them. And we saw egregious examples of that throughout the 60s and 70s, and forced busing and other things like this that were all part of this move of reducing the states to mere subdivisions of the federal government. And that's never the design. The design, again, was that the states would have great deal of authority and power, particularly the states would be focused on preserving the life, liberty, and property of every citizen and resident within in the borders of their state. That was not a federal issue. That was not the business of the federal government. The federal government was to do only those things signed by the Constitution to the federal government, and really the design was that the only things that were granted to the federal government by the states, because remember, it was the states that created the federal government. Federal government didn't exist. There was Articles of Confederation, but even those Articles of Confederation were created by the states. So the states preceded the federal government, and the states created the federal government, and they had, in many respects, more power and more important duties than the federal government. They would only they only granted power to the federal government for things that the states themselves could not do on their own, such as raise an army to repel an invasion that was taking place, or subdue an insurrection, and those sort of things. That was the kind of task that the federal government would have. But that has all changed, and now we have in Washington, D.C., 90-plus percent, according to some estimates, 90-plus percent of what they're doing completely is unconstitutional, is law-breaking, and it is a destructive power they are using in Washington, D.C. to force the states to be subservient, and ultimately force all the citizens of the state to be subservient to a tyrannical, centralized government. And the 13th Amendment was followed by the 14th, which actually made things even a little worse. The 14th Amendment, many analysts say, is the most important amendment since the Bill of Rights, and the reason being is the misinterpretation of this amendment has been used, again, to subjugate the states and individual citizens in ways that were never intended.
And it was never intended when they passed the 14th Amendment.
That's right.
It was only many years later, decades later, that they suddenly found secret meaning in the 14th Amendment to expand the power of the central authority. And until you understand that there really is an organized, orchestrated effort that has been here since the inception of our country to use the federal government as a dictatorship, to crush all individual liberty and freedom, unless you understand that, and they have used the courts through the years to nullify, you know, our Constitution. I mean, if you want to change the Constitution, you have a right to do that. You have the discussion, you have the votes. There are ways to amend the Constitution. They don't want to amend the Constitution. They know the American people want to be free. They know the American people don't want a dictatorship. So they've done it by judicial edict, and of course by misusing the various phrases in the 13th and 14th and other amendments. But the 14th, as David said, was so important. And of course, how long was it after the 14th Amendment was enacted before they found all those hidden meanings there that could move us towards the dictatorship?
It was a number of decades, actually, because within 10 years of the ratification of the 14th Amendment, there was an attempt to do what people claim today that the 14th Amendment did, and it's often called the incorporation doctrine. That is the idea that the 14th Amendment incorporates the entire Bill of Rights upon the states. You read the Bill of Rights, you recognize it's a limit upon the federal government. For example, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say the state legislatures can make no law. No, only Congress shall make no law. In other words, the Bill of Rights addresses the limits placed upon the federal government. It does not directly address any limits upon state governments. Well, the misinterpreters here of the 14th Amendment, with the incorporation doctrine, which, by the way, is believed by almost all people who are in the legal profession today because they do not know the history of this, the incorporation doctrine is false. The incorporation doctrine would say that the First Amendment applies not just to Congress, but it applies to every level of government, state government and county government and a town or a township, depending on what part of the country you're in, that all of those also must apply the First Amendment, which is how they have gotten to the point of saying you have to take the Bible out of public schools, because they say, and again, this is a misinterpretation of the First Amendment, they would claim the First Amendment says there's a high and impregnable wall of separation between church and state, not just for Congress, as the First Amendment says, but they would say because of the 14th Amendment, also the state legislature, and not only the state legislature, the county council, and not only that, the town. And so they say any level of government and any function of government cannot have any taint of Christianity or true religion at all portrayed, which is why they've said the public schools, government schools, therefore cannot have the Bible in them, the Ten Commandments cannot be posted on the walls, no prayer can be. All these things are a result of the incorporation doctrine, which I will show you in a moment, is a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment.
But I think what's really so important for our listeners to understand, David, is the fact that this is part of the plan. It's either three parts of the plan, a one world government, a dictatorship, and a new world religion. Well, the second means you have to destroy Christianity. Mm. So they specifically took God and prayer out of our schools during the Vietnam War, while our attention was directed overseas, and we weren't watching what was happening here. Why they began to take the God and prayer in reference to the deity from whom our freedom comes out of our schools and out of our public life. Why? Because if they knew they could destroy the religious foundation of this nation, that it would be a short, steep step to dictatorship. They knew that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Take away the Spirit of the Lord, why, liberty will become simply a remembrance of things past. So that was really what was so important about this incorporation document, which had no basis at all in the 14th Amendment, and was simply found out many, many years later, utilized in the 1960s. Now, remember, what was the 14th Amendment was passed? What, about
1868. So it was 100 years later in 1968, actually a little bit earlier than that, but where this incorporation doctrine began to be used as a sledgehammer to break, as you say, the Christian foundation of our country and to destroy the powers that the states rightly had up to that point in time and still legally do have, but all the people being trained in law schools, all the judges and most legislators believe the lie of the incorporation doctrine. And it's simple to dispel the lie. All you got to do is open the textbooks and look at what happened within a decade of when the 14th Amendment was ratified. That is, if you want to understand what the meaning of the 14th Amendment is, you need to go back to that time frame, enter a time machine, so to speak, go back and listen to what the people of that day said it meant, listen to the debates that took place, and within 10 years there was another amendment proposed that never passed. It never became part of our Constitution. It is known as the Blaine Amendment, B-L-A-I-N-E. He was a congressman from Maine, and his Blaine Amendment proposed a wording that was identical to the First Amendment, but instead of Congress shall make no law, it said the states, the individual states, shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So it was very clear in the Blaine Amendment that this idea of the incorporation doctrine was being attempted in that day, not for the whole Bill of Rights, but only for the First Amendment, and it failed. They understood that the 14th Amendment did not force the First Amendment to be applicable to the states, to the counties, or to the towns and townships.
But of course, someone once said, freedom never closes thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. And the enemies of freedom have been working, going all the way back to that time and even back to the inception of our country, to centralize all power in Washington as it is today. Well, David, pick the story up there.
Well, looking at the text of the 14th Amendment, we find language that's very, very similar to the Fifth Amendment, where...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Not taught in schools and not taught in law schools. And, of course, if you're following what's happening at the national level, we're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship step by step through the Patriot Act, the Office of Homeland Security Act, of the building of new concentration camps in America, the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, the Military Commissions Act, the preparation of the Japanese concentration camps, $38 million to refurbish those, so that we'll never forget how terrible it was to have people in concentration camps. And yet, of course, we've been giving Halliburton $345 million to be standing by to build new detention camps, and now that latest presidential directives of Homeland Security and the National Security. They allow the president at any time, at his discretion, to declare a dictatorship with no time limitation and no consult of Congress and no congressional oversight. People say it couldn't happen here, and I would say, why not? If God is just, he's obviously preparing to bring his judgment on this country, and I fear that's what's going to happen, because we've forgotten about our Constitution, and the president does not have the right to make laws, but he's doing it. Go right ahead.
So there is no protection any longer of life, and not only of the unborn, but we see this... Oh, hang on a second.
You okay there, David? Well, I guess David's tied up for a moment. Hopefully he'll be back here in just a moment. But what we need, of course, is for people to study.
Pardon me there.
Okay, go right ahead.
But there's no attempt to not only protect the life of the unborn, but now we see euthanasia moving forward, and they don't intend to protect the life of anyone they consider disposable for whatever reason. The second principle there is not only protecting life, but liberty, that without due process of law, your liberty cannot be taken away. And you just mentioned a long list there, a laundry list of Patriot Act and Military Commissions Act, which basically says if the government decides you're an enemy combatant without any trial, without any evidence, they could just label you an enemy combatant. And if they do so, you have no right to liberty. You have no, all your Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth and Seventh and Eighth, all those amendments protecting your right to liberty are taken away, and you can be locked up in prison, the key thrown away, never brought to trial, never charges brought against you at all. This is wretched tyranny that we have, as you mentioned the list of things. This has happened in our land, and there are American citizens who are being treated with this kind of stripping of their liberty. Many people think, well, you know, that's them, that's somebody else. It won't come for me, but think of what happened to Pastor Niemöller in Nazi Germany. He said, well, when they came for the communists, I wasn't worried about them because I wasn't one. And when they came for this group and that group, when they came for the trade union people, and when they came for the Jews, I wasn't concerned. But then when they came for me, there was nobody to help me defend myself. And so we as citizens need to stand up against this evil tyranny. It's a violation of the law. All those things you mentioned, every single one of them, is a violation of the law, because the supreme law of our land is the U.S. Constitution, its Bill of Rights, and the subsequent amendments.
And, of course, the FBI, if you don't believe the FBI, believes that if you talk about the Constitution, you're a potential terrorist. Then you need to go to my website and pull down. We have the Phoenix Terrorist Task Force, FBI Terrorist Task Force, pamphlet that they passed out to law enforcement. You can tell who a terrorist is because they talk about the Constitution. Or certainly would be glad to send you one of those. You need to understand that this came out right out of Washington, D.C. They did put it in print there in the Phoenix area. People who talk about the Constitution, people associated with Christian groups who believe in end-time prophecy, all potential terrorists. I wonder how many people listening to our program are potential terrorists tonight in the sight of the government that, of course, has a different agenda. Because, of course, there are people in government who don't believe in Christianity. There are people in government who don't believe in the Constitution. There are people in government who have a different agenda because they worship a different God. And this is the most important thing that you can learn about what's going on today. There really are people who have an entirely different worldview. They want a one-world government, and that's why they want to get this new amnesty through. They want to allow all the people coming to our country to become citizens. They certainly do not want to guard our borders. They want to merge the United States and Canada and Mexico into one nation, and then of course merge the North American Union with all the others, a world government. Well, David, you go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, the third God-given right that the states may not deprive anyone of is the right to property. without due process of law. That is, the government has no grant of power to steal property from we the people. They cannot take property from anyone, and that is without due process of law. And yet we have seen the exact overturning of that with the expansion of eminent domain. Eminent domain has always been a little bit of a questionable thing. Yes, there are certain public functions, maybe building roads and so on, that may require forcing people to give up their land, and just compensation is to be given, as the Constitution clearly spells out. But it's always by due process. That means a person has recourse. A person can protest this and fight against that. But this, without due process of law, is now the law of the land, as most people accept it as the law of the land. That is the Kelo v. New London case, in which people had their property taken, not for any public purpose other than that they were going to, their property was going to be resold to a developer who would enhance the property so it would receive a higher taxing base for the city of New London, Connecticut. So the City Council of New London, Connecticut says, how can we get the most money out of this piece of property? That homeowner there is not paying us enough taxes. We're going to steal the property from them. We're going to sell it to a developer who in turn will produce homes on it that are of higher taxing base, and we will have a greater stream of income. So here's the government stealing from we the people in order to fill its coffers with more money. If we don't have enough greedy people in politics already, there is a vivid example of what politicians on steroids will do if they're not stopped.
And because the other
court did not stop them.
And the other thing that I was always curious about was how much money did that developer give as personal gifts to the campaign?
Oh, yes.
Oh, the various people on the city council or county council. In fact, I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger on the Jay Leno program, and when that issue was brought up, and Arnold, without hesitating at all, he said, that's terrible. I mean, probably that developer is contributing to all the people in the government, you know, giving them money so that he can get this property because he doesn't want to pay the money that the people want to sell it to him. And I think that was very spontaneous on Arnold's part, and one of the few things I've really agreed with him totally. It should be so obvious that the developer is going to give money to the people on the city council, but only to their campaigns. Just like, of course, people give tens of millions of dollars to presidential campaigns with no thought of getting anything in return.
And
well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners about the Institute of the Constitution, why it is important, how they can get in touch with the organization, how they can, of course, obtain one of your kits. And I should mention that the Institute of the Constitution does support Radio Liberty, but Radio Liberty does support the Institute because we think that what they're doing is so vitally important. So you go right ahead.
Well, we're deeply grateful for your support and encouragement for people to consider purchasing a host kit. A host kit is a simple way that anyone can communicate the truths we're talking about here of what our founders' original intent was of the Constitution and the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, and the subsequent amendments. And every citizen really needs to know these things because you're going to be lied to by the media, you'll be lied to by the education system, you'll be lied to by the lawyers. Some of the lawyers don't know any better, so they're repeating a lie and they don't know it's a lie. But the truth of the matter is, if you go back to what our founders said, it's very clear what they intended with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and subsequent amendments. They had a form of government that has been overthrown by and large in our day because people have been lied to about the meaning of the Constitution. And most people have said, well, a Constitution, that's too complicated for me to understand. I just have to leave that to the experts and I'll trust them. Oh, no, don't ever trust an expert. You need to know this material yourself. And so we put together a host kit, 12 lectures by Dr. Don Eismo, 2 lectures by David Barton, and it's a really turnkey method by which you can teach a group of people, putting in these lectures, DVD, and we also have VHS format available if someone needs that. But just communicating these truths as they walk through each lecture and answer test questions at the end of these lectures that you as the host are given the answers to, is a very simple method by which we the people can seek to restore and retake our constitutional republic that's been stolen from us by leftists and New World Order goons and tyrants who do not love liberty and do not have any desire for any of us to have freedom whatsoever. And as you've shared, if we don't do something, if we don't act, the tyrants are moving rapidly to steal all of our liberties, to steal our right to life, our right to liberty, our right to property. They're going to take them all and enslave every one of us and force anyone who resists into a concentration camp. That's what they're up to. But we can stop them because the supreme law of the land is still the Constitution. But if we don't know that supreme law, and if we don't know what it means in terms of holding our elected officials accountable, then we are going to have the tyrants take us and take us by storm. So I encourage each listener to get a host kit. Go ahead and gather a group of friends, family, neighbors, and host it in your home, or better yet, even go to your church. And I've told people, if your pastor's a little leery about having an Institute on the Constitution program conducted at their church, have them call me. I'd love to talk to any pastor and explain why his congregation needs to hear this material and his congregation needs to be equipped to be Christian citizens by taking the course Institute on the Constitution. Now, people can purchase our host kit if they want to call us toll-free. And that toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again is 866-730-9796. Or if they want to go to our web site, we have a web store and the host kit's available there as well. And our website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. We have a conference coming up in July, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Roy Moore, is going to be speaking, and speaking Sunday the 1st, as well as on the 2nd, that evening of the 1st, and then on the 2nd and on the 3rd as well, and a number of other well-known speakers on these issues of what is constitutional. But primarily, he's going to be speaking about what churches need to do, because we've lost our freedoms and our liberties because churches have fallen down on the job, which is really why, as a pastor, I got involved in this, because I recognized that as a pastor, I wasn't doing all I needed to do to equip Christian citizens who could restore our constitutional republic. And so this conference is going to be a great opportunity to interact not only with Chief Justice Roy Moore, but Herb Titus and a number of other speakers who are experts on these things that can help equip citizens, Christian citizens particularly, in doing this. So if you go to our website, iotconline.com, you'll see there on the front page about the conference, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and we invite people from all over the country to join us here in Central Maryland for a great time of celebration. And, of course, if you're traveling from a distance, you can spend some time in Washington, D.C., see the sites before and after the conference on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. But anyway, that's the plug for some of the things that we're doing here to seek to restore our republic. And as we said, it's desperately in need of restoration because this law that we're looking at here, the 14th Amendment, that no one may be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, is basically considered null and void by the states as well as by the federal government. They'll steal your property, they'll take your liberty or your life anytime they choose. And that, our founders understood, is the definition of a tyrant. A tyrant is one who attacks your God-given right to life, liberty, or property. That's a person who should be taken out of the position of power they are in, as they say of King George III in the Declaration, that he is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Unfit. And that is what our federal government and our state governments have become, unfit to be the rulers of a free people. We can change that by restoring the constitutional republic that our founders established.
And well, I would simply point out, we consider ourselves free people. We were a free people at one time. So you realize that today, in the United States, we have over 2%, we have over 2% of our population are in prison, probation, or on parole. About Let's see, the actual figures are, certainly over 2% of our population are prison, parole, or anyway, they've been let out temporarily. So you have to understand that we really were a free nation. We're no longer a free nation. Proportionally, we have more people in prison, probation, or parole than they have in communist China today. How could that possibly be? And if that's true, how did it happen? Well, of course, a lot of the people are blacks. One in every three young black men is in prison, population, parole, and that is because of some of the things we're doing to them as far as the fluoride, the lead that they're exposed to. They know exactly what they're doing here in the United States, and a lot of those people in prison are there, are innocent people who've been put in prison because they perhaps were working for the government. They were whistleblowers trying to bring out what was happening, and they get whisked away and they get a kangaroo court, and they're in prison.
And that's a sad travesty of the kind of violations our founders exactly listed that King George III was engaged in. You read the 28 reasons why they separated from Great Britain in the Declaration, and those were exactly some of the reasons they were seeing that we don't have a justice system, we have an injustice system. We don't have a lawful legislature, we have a bunch of illegal actions on the part, because they recognize there is a higher standard. It's God's law. And all human law, quote-unquote human law, has to be judged by God's law. And if it's a violation of God's law, it's no law at all.
And the figure is 7 million Americans, prison, probation, or parole. And you're never going to hear that discussed in the media. You can check it out on Wikipedia, but you'll never hear it discussed. Why? Because you're supposed to believe that we still are a free people. But if you stand up and object to what's going on, you may very well find out that, you know, when it comes to going before a judge who happens to belong to a secret society or something like that, you're not going to get a fair trial. Go right ahead, David.
Well, the 14th Amendment basically states that individual states may not deny anyone equal protection of the law. So it prohibits discrimination that lacks any rational basis. In some instances, it calls for a higher standard of proof, strict scrutiny for things like racial discrimination. Again, many people would say, why would you object to that? I don't object to that. But that's an issue that should be dealt with on the state level, not the federal level. Why? Because you have a greater influence on what your state legislature, governor, and judges do than you will ever have on the federal legislature or the federal executive or judicial branch. You have very little influence there, but you will have a larger level of influence on your own state, and therefore it's better to give states greater powers and the federal government less power than the opposite, which is what we have now. The federal government having nearly all powers and state governments having very little, if any, powers whatsoever. We had the privilege this legislative session here in Annapolis in Maryland to teach this course to state senators and delegates, and it was an eye-opening thing for many of them. They had never heard some of these things before. Some of these were lawyers that have trained for years and, you know, served as attorneys and so on, but ignorant, very ignorant of what our federal constitution actually says. And particularly at this point, when we talked about the differences between state and federal powers and the design that the states would have broad-ranging powers, the federal government would have very limited powers, they said, well, that's exactly the opposite of what we have today. They recognize that as state legislators, they have very little power at all to do anything, that the federal government dictates to them all the time what they can, cannot do, and what must do, and so on and so forth, and it's exactly upside down and opposite. So for those legislators here in Maryland, it was a real eye-opener to see, oh my goodness, what we're under is exactly the opposite of what our founders intended. And they got riled up enough to say, hey, what can we do? Where do we start to take back our constitutional republic? And so the 14th Amendment applies to states. And again, it's limited. It only applies to states. It does not apply to purely private actions, what we would call private discrimination. But again, look at the civil rights movement in the 60s. What did it do? It said, A person operating a restaurant could not discriminate. They had to do what the federal government told them they were going to do. Or a person operating any kind of business was going to be told by the federal government what they had to do regarding discrimination or segregation and so forth and so on. And again, I'm not defending discrimination or segregation, but I am saying that you have God-given rights to do these things with your own property and with your own business, that the federal government has no right that we, the people, granted to them to take that right away from you. Nor did we grant that to our state governments, the right to take those things away from you. And the 14th Amendment here says nothing about private individuals, citizens who own businesses or run a bus. All these misinterpretations by the Supreme Court that public accommodation, well, a bus, and so, you know, again, I'm not saying that the discrimination in itself is a good thing. I am saying suffering that discrimination is better. It's better to suffer the kind of discrimination going on than it is to allow the federal government to have the kind of tyrannical control of every business, of every private individual, of every person's property. To tell people what they can and cannot do with their property is not just obnoxious, it's a violation of God's law, and therefore it is unlawful. And we the people have to set that right, and that's going to take a large number of people, which is why we recognize this is going to be a grassroots movement. You're not going to have the major media get on it. You're not going to have Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh talk about these issues. No, it's going to take we the people getting a group of people together to teach them these principles using a host kit, and then spreading from those people who take the course, they gather a group of their friends and family and their church, and it spreads across the country. Right now there's 50, in all 50 states there's at least one class being conducted, and we're encouraged by that. But it's going to take a grassroots movement, because none of the big organizations, even the conservative kind of foundations, they're not after this. No, they're part of the problem. The solution has to come from we the people, grassroots, taking it back.
And I really think it's so exciting to know that in every single state these classes are being held and people are learning. But you're not going to hear about this from Rush Limbaugh. You're not going to hear about it from Sean Hannity or from Bill O'Reilly. And yet an understanding of the Constitution is foundational to any hope of preserving our republic. Go ahead, David.
Well, the rest of the 14th Amendment mentions some specific things about those who aided the Confederacy may not vote or hold office unless pardoned by Congress. So they basically said these people are non-citizens. They forced the southern states, they forced those who left, those who separated from the federal government, they forced them back in and said, well, if you were at all part of the Confederacy, or you supported or stood with them, then we strip you of all your citizenship rights. That's an egregious thing that the 14th Amendment does, and of course that's back in history and time, but I think it demonstrates the kind of attitude, not just of Lincoln, but of also the Reconstructionists that followed him, that basically the attitude was the federal government is all-powerful, and we're going to use the federal government like a sledgehammer to smash you into submission. And if you will not submit, we'll kill you, we'll strip you of your rights, we'll strip you of your citizenship, and so on and so forth. And that's exactly what took place. If you study what happened following the end of the war between the states, you find that the South was being crushed, its culture was being destroyed and demolished, and all of its significant institutions were being undermined and completely taken over by a federal government. And so what they did to the South is what they have succeeded in doing to the rest of the country in the years following that, particularly in the latter part of the 20th century, that destruction of the independence of each state and the destruction of the kind of culture has gone rapidly forward as the wicked evildoers have sought to submit us to the one world order. Another note there of what they also said in the 14th Amendment. Any debts owed to Union soldiers were valid. Debts owed to Confederate soldiers were invalid and would not be honored. Again, anything they could do to crush the spirit as well as the financial ability of anybody in the South. So the 14th Amendment has been widely misinterpreted. The incorporation doctrine is a false interpretation. It's completely contrary to the original intent of the 14th Amendment. And therefore, the 14th Amendment has been used as a club to actually undo the structure established by our founders, in which states had wide-ranging powers and the federal government had very limited powers. That's now been turned on its head as a result of the misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment.
David, I want you to get your telephone number one more time and your website.
Our phone number is 866-730-9796, and our website is iotconline.com.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up tonight's program with David Whitney. Well, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I would like to think of a verse, or just remind you of a verse in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Jesus quoted these words, referring to himself. He said, "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty." Let me repeat that. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Jesus is about liberty. Not just spiritual liberty, but also political liberty. He laid the foundation of the truth that is throughout his word from Genesis to Revelation that establishes that we have God-given rights and that the sole purpose of civil government is to secure our God-given rights. And furthermore, we have another God-given right. When our civil government fails to do its God-given duty, then we have the right to alter or to abolish that civil government, just as our founder said in the Declaration, and to establish a new form of government that will secure our God-given rights. That's the whole purpose of government. It's not to see that your seatbelt is fastened. It's not to tell you how much water you can flush down your toilet. The purpose of government is to secure your God-given rights, not to give you a welfare check, not to take care of you from cradle to grave, and not to educate you. Those are not the functions of government, and our founders understood that. And if you let government outside the very restricted boundaries, then it will steal your liberty, all the while promising you a bunch of goodies. "We're going to give you a welfare check, but you're going to lose your liberty. We're going to give you this, but you're going to lose that." Never accept anything from someone who's promising that. Matter of fact, Benjamin Franklin said it well. He said, "Anybody who wants to sacrifice their liberty to gain security deserves neither liberty nor security." Sad to say, most Americans today have said, "Oh, sure, you know, well, terrorists are scaring us to death, so we're willing to give up our liberties to gain some sense of security." And according to our founders, that's a deal with the devil. You cannot win at that deal. And Thomas Jefferson said it well, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed the only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Thomas Jefferson, who's definitely not an Orthodox Christian, clearly understood that if you allow a civil government to violate the God-given rights of your neighbor as well as yourself, that is going to bring God's judgment.
Oh, we're out of time, David.
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Thanks so very much. And our guest this evening has been Pastor David Whitney. And I do hope you've enjoyed our program with David. And I hope you'll give serious thought to getting involved. One of the things you can do instead of an Institute of the Constitution, and begin to train others, so they train others who can train others. And then, of course, I certainly need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why, let's seriously consider giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and you'll receive our 4 best tapes of the month, or CDs of the month, our monthly newsletter, but you'll be helping us. Now, I want to mention that on Saturday evening in Colorado, I'll be in Loveland, Colorado, speaking at at the Minolta Theater, and it's 8 o'clock in the evening, but hopefully the doors are going to be open an hour and a half or so beforehand, at least an hour beforehand, and if you are in Colorado, we'd love to see you there. And then, of course, we need to try to explain that what motivates these people who have a different world agenda, who would establish a dictatorship, is they worship a different god, and they're following a different world plan. And that's why, of course, you need, of course, to not only hear my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's available in DVD or VHS or in a book form, but then you need, of course, to watch my DVD or VHS on The Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus that goes with that that has the documentation for what we're talking about. You need to get the documents. You need to check them out. If you don't think there's a genocidal agenda where they plan to kill off most of the world's population, you need to get the talk we've given, the two of them. One is called None Dare Call It Genocide, and then, of course, a more extended form of that is Planned Population Reduction. So None Dare Call It Genocide or Planned Population Reduction. We do have a video on population control. We have a 4-tape set on population control. We have my monograph on population control, which is available up at our website at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly is available if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Hidden Agenda is the story of how they're using fluoride to destroy the minds of our children, destroy their fertility, destroy our thyroid function, endocrine function, soften our bones, lower the, as we mentioned, lower the intelligence, lower the fertility. It's all part of a genocidal program. And, of course, the syllabus that comes with that is one of our best ones. You'll see all of the articles out of the medical literature. And we have permission from the journal Fluoride to reproduce it and show how this produces an increase in Down syndrome, lowers the testosterone rate in males. Why are so many men having to use things for erectile dysfunction? Because what testosterone lowers it, water fluoridation lowers the testosterone level. It lowers the sperm count. It causes there to be a lot of deformed sperm. If these things are true, why does the government tell us it's safe and effective? Because they're evil and wicked people there. And when you begin to understand that if you really wanted to do the maximum harm, you wouldn't go to work in Podunk, or you'd go to work right at the Centers for Disease Control or the FDA. Why do you think the FDA is authorizing drugs like Avendia and the other oral, you know, agents that are used for diabetes that increase the incidence of heart attacks significantly? We're talking about something like an 8% increase in heart attacks somewhere in that neighborhood. They know exactly what they're doing. Why do you think they authorized Vioxx? They knew it was going to kill, 60 to 160,000 Americans and probably killed a lot more. Understand what we're up against. Give us call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so then, of course, we'll be back with you again tomorrow evening at the same time. Until then, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guest. And, well, the guest here in the second hour this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry. And Ed has a ministry to Masons and to Mormons and to other groups of people who are in organizations that certainly have their foundation in the occult. Now, I never knew a Mason I didn't like. I never knew a Mormon I didn't like. But actually, Mormon comes out of Masonry. And Masonry comes out of the mystery religions of antiquity. And till you understand that there is a secret that has been passed on down through the ages, beginning, at the time of ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt, and fusing with the ancient Egyptian mysteries and the Syrian and Assyrian mystery religions, the Persian mysteries, and then, of course, down to the Kabbalah and the Gnostic faith, and then into, of course, the Rosicrucians, the Templars, groups like the Illuminati, and then, of course, into modern-day Masonry. There is this continuity of belief in a hidden force that, if you could tap into it, would give you tremendous knowledge and tremendous power. And the average Mason knows nothing at all about that, nor does the average Mormon or the people in the other forms of the occult. Well, certainly Ed Decker is an expert on this. He's came out of a Mormonism himself. He studied this. He's probably one of the leading experts we have on the Masonic faith, and actually he has a book of what you need to know about Masonry. Is that book still in print?
No, actually it's out of print, but the chapters on the Masonic book I put up on my website. They're actually available for free in the Masonic section, the Freemasonry section of my website library, so people can go and get the various chapters individually, and that was a lot easier than trying to get it republished.
All right. It's a great little book, though. I just love to have that. But at least with the Internet, why, of course, you can get it. What is the website so people will
go? It's saintsalive.com. Just www.saintsalive.com, and you'll just click on it, and it'll bring you right up to it. And you'll find that I have on the site for Freemasonry, I have including all the actual word-for-word Masonic rituals from the Blue Lodge degrees are on the site verbatim. And if you're interested to know what somebody does when they go through the Masonic ritual in the Blue Lodge, the first three degrees from the Entered Apprentice and right up to the Master Mason, you will actually get those rituals right on my website.
Well, you know, I've talked to Masons who come out of Masonry, and so many of them are really afraid to come on the radio. They're afraid to talk about it, even though that they renounced what they were into. They still live in constant fear. Have you run into that?
I have. If you remember back a number of years ago when Jimmy Draper was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, my dad was a Mason at the time, and I was trying to get my dad to wake up to what was going on, and he yelled at me, and he said, "You know what? If the Masons are good enough for Jimmy Draper, it's good enough for me." And he stormed out, and that was the end of it with him. And, well, I wrote Jimmy Draper a letter, and I said, "You know, my dad's an elderly man. I'm trying to get him out from some of the spiritual darkness that he's involved in, and he's using you as a reason why he's staying in." And I said, and I gave him some information about, swearing blood oath, and I said, "You are the head of the whole Southern Baptist Convention, and you put your thumb to your throat and swearing blood oaths."
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I guess as Ed Decker, you were just talking about your writing to the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, who is himself a Mason. What did he have to say to that?
Well, he wrote me back, and first I had told him. I said, Brother Draper, how can you put your thumb to your throat and swear to have your throat slit from ear to ear and your tongue ripped out by the roots if you reveal the secrets of the law? And when Jesus himself said to swear no oath at all, anything beyond that comes from the evil one. If you're swearing oaths with your thumb to your throat to have it slit, what you're doing comes from the evil one. And I said, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. He wrote back and he said he was admitting and that he felt that a Christian really shouldn't be making those kinds of oaths and that I was right. And then he admitted. But when he admitted, he just sent a letter saying what a good bunch of wonderful guys they were, and he just felt that in his time and his energies need to be spent elsewhere. He resigned his membership in the lodge. I'm glad he did, because I was able to get my dad out. But the point of it was that he still didn't want to offend the 40% of the Southern Baptist pastors who were Masons, nor did he want to offend the leadership in the Sunday school department or any of the other departments. And later on, I found out that the royal ambassador program of the Southern Baptist churches, that they were using Masonic rituals to initiate these kids, and no wonder people were joining the Baptist people were joining Masons when they became of age. They had been trained up in it as young men in the church basements, and then I made a big stink about that, and they changed that whole ritual. But it's devious, and you just got to be on guard for it.
But I think what people don't understand is these occult movements permeate every aspect of our society today, and the average person has no idea what's going on.
I had a friend of mine who was an attorney in the Seattle area, and he just said you can't be a successful attorney in Seattle without being a Mason. Just flat out, you can't.
And, of course, I suppose that you get a Masonic judge, why, they're going to rule against you if you're not a Mason. I've heard it said that, if you go into a courtroom and there's either a Masonic judge or a Masonic attorney on the other side or somebody from the Masons of the jury, you won't get a fair trial.
I had a case in Salt Lake City, and I got the only non-Mormon judge thinking I was okay. And it was we had a reservations for a conference at a hotel up in the mountains outside of Salt Lake.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment when we bring our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Ed Decker, who's been involved in a ministry to Masons and Mormons for many years, having come out of Mormonism himself. He was saying that his father had been a Mason. But the head of the Southern Baptist Convention at that time was also a Mason, and about 40% of Southern Baptist ministers are Masons and have sworn these terrible blood oaths that they swear. And after Ed had written to the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, he actually resigned from the Masonic faith but would not come out publicly and attack them and expose them. And I suspect that the truth of the matter is he was afraid.
Absolutely. Well, he's afraid of offending,
Well, but I think that at least the one man I talked to, he was really afraid for his life. He did not want to come out and attack them, and he certainly wouldn't come onto my radio program and talk about the secret oaths that he had sworn. Even though he had renounced them, why, he would live it with fear of actually exposing the rest of his life. But you were talking about another instance before just a moment ago.
Well, I was just saying that we had a case in the Seattle area where an industrial leader in our greater Seattle area had been arrested for sexually abusing his grandson, and that was in all the papers, and the trial started, and the second or third day of the trial, the judge came out and declared a mistrial with, I forget whether with or without prejudice, I'm lost on that subject, but it was such that he could never be tried again, And the judge said that he had done something the day before that negated the possibility of a fair trial being taking place. And what the judge did do was he received censure from the state bar association, but it, you know, was a letter, and it, he didn't get knocked off the court or anything else. But it was very obvious, and as I found out later, they were both 33rd degree Masons.
And because you're a 33rd degree Mason, it doesn't matter what the law is, it doesn't matter what the crime is, treason, murder.
You swear an oath that even murder included, you will hide the sins of your brothers, actually, you know.
And that's why, of course, you cannot get a fair trial in America. You cannot have a free society when you have a secret organization that is as powerful as Masonry today.
Well, again, you know, I praise God that we have the Lord Jesus Christ only upon, because we're not going to get the help elsewhere in some of these cases. And as you know, I've had the situation where I've been poisoned by the Masons. In fact, twice I've been poisoned, and once very, very severely in Scotland. I was doing a TV special on the occult origins of Scottish Rite Masonry, and the Masons in Scotland did not take kindly to it. And I had my doctors discovered something like 7 times a lethal amount of arsenic in my system when they finally got me squared away and calmed down enough to be taken care of. I was in pretty dire condition at the time.
And, of course, the thing is, it's so difficult for the average individual living in this society we do to believe that they will really kill people or try to kill them. And I'm sure that the Lord looks after Ed, and as I believe he looks after me and my family. Otherwise, I couldn't do what I do. And thanks for the prayers from literally thousands of people out across America who are praying for our family, and I'm sure they're praying for you as well, Ed.
That's right. And I know that we've got a calling in our lives in this matter, and you can't walk away from it. At least I've never been able to, and apparently from everything that you do, you've been unable to as well. And when God calls you, he provides the protection, and that's kind of the way I've always felt about it. It doesn't mean I'm not going to get hurt once in a while, but I'm not going to. The scriptures say that you'll take no poison, that nothing, no harm will come to you. Well, I tell you, I like a definition of that, because I sure was a sick puppy for a long time from it, but I did pull through, and it's been a witness to others who knew what I was going through. It was one of the final straws that broke the back on my family's, the generations of the curse of Freemasonry in my own family. That was sort of the end of their final decision to stick with Freemasonry, was that little episode. And it was interesting, because it was my father who took the stand very strongly and was my champion in that area. So my family was set free. I only had to get poisoned to get it done.
Well, that's a pretty high price to pay, but I'm sure it was worth it to get the family out. Well, certainly it would appear now that Masonry in some respects is certainly nowhere near as influential as it was. It's certainly losing a lot of members, although it has its people implanted certainly within throughout the judicial system and in key positions in many divisions of government. They certainly are losing membership, aren't they?
They're losing membership. In fact, there are more Masons dying every year in the Seattle area, in this jurisdiction up in the Seattle area, than are actually more people dying than are actually joining the Masons. So the numbers are going down, but they're becoming looser and looser in how they recruit. In the old days, it was more of a mystical recruitment program, and you had to ask, and then you went through the blackballing and all that kind of stuff. Well, very few people are blackballing these days, I can tell you that for sure. And the reason for it is that it's pretty hard for today for the generations that are now here to join some clandestine organization like the Masons. And so they're doing a lot more than they did in the past. But we have, in the Seattle area, we have retirement homes for the Masons, and you'll find out as you go in and look at these things that the Masons are so heavily endowed from these things. Men have put their money into these endowments that will take care of them as they grow old, and as a result of that, the Masons have a huge amount of money at their hands. And that's one of the things that draws some people into it, is the vast financial wealth of Freemasonry.
And then, of course, if you are a Mason, you'll get promoted, you'll get a better job, your family will be looked after if something happens to you. There are a lot of advantages to be a Mason. But people don't understand the spiritual implications. This is the thing that bothers me, that there's so many good people will get drawn into this, thinking that what they're doing is doing good, and some of what they do is good. Certainly the Shriners do a wonderful job with their hospitals for reconstruction, and they've helped an awful lot of children. But I don't think people understand the implications of what this is really all about. So from your point of view, could you explain what you've learned studying Masonry through the years, Ed?
Well, I've learned that Satan doesn't come to you looking like a 13-foot frog. You know, that he's going to come looking nice and smelling nice, and he's going to have an attractiveness to him that draws you in. And the same thing that we were told was going to happen with the Antichrist. So evil can come in and look good. And men who are operating in the soul areas of their lives and not operating within the spiritual realm are drawn into these things. My family, every male member of my family was a Mason since I track it back to 1805. And so that was what the Deckers did. We were Masons, and in our country area where we lived when I was a kid, upstate New York, you didn't buy or sell without being a Mason in that area. And if you didn't have, I remember a neighbor who was against the Masons, and he could not buy anything in the Grange, which was a Masonic, the Grange is actually a Masonic organization, and it was put together by rural and farming Masonic groups to buy grain and feed and all those kinds of things, farm materials at a wholesale level, and buy in quantity, and then take it out as with your membership in the Grange. And my dad went and bought, I remember my dad going and buying some stuff for this guy so his animals didn't die, because they didn't have the food that they needed at the time. And the only way he could get it would be to drive, like 150 miles away and pay prime rate to get the material, because they would not sell to this man because he wasn't a Mason.
And so really it's sort of helping your brother Mason help. But, the people who are not Masons, of course, on the outside. And, of course, as far as the spiritual aspect of it, most Masons, I'm sure, believe that, you can be both a Christian and a Mason. And certainly a lot of them go to church. I'm sure a lot of them, in many respects, believe in the Christian message. So how can you correlate Christianity and Masonry?
Well, Christianity, of course, the Masons use a lot of Christian symbols and so forth, but as I've discovered, as I've studied through their documents and their rituals, they play games with the scriptures. For example, you learn that the sacred name in the Knights of the East and the West is Abaddon, and yet in Revelations 9:11 it says that the demons have a king over them, and his name in Hebrew is Abaddon. So you begin to learn that throughout the use of scripture and things that lull in a person who doesn't understand the word of God, you discover that all these things have a double meaning to it, and a twist of the word, a twist of the scripture, the ordaining of the men into the Melchizedek priesthood in the grand pontiff level, usurping the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It goes on and on as you begin to study these things, that you learn that they do play with scripture, but they manipulate the scripture to an evil way.
And I think the average Mason, he's so busy going through all the rites and all those other things, he doesn't have time to read the Word of God. And because he doesn't read the Word of God, he doesn't understand the significance of Abaddon, or he doesn't understand the significance of when you die, you stand before the great white throne of judgment.
Well, that's the other part of it, and that's one of the great fallacies of Freemasonry, is that when you're done and you're buried in your Masonic garments and you're covered with your apron.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back, Ed. We'll pick up the story there. You were saying when you're buried in your Masonic apron, what?
No, that's when you're told that you will stand before the great white throne judgment of God, you know, and be told, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yet the great white throne in Revelations again tells you that the great white throne judgment is a judgment of the damned, that those dead not in Christ. And so here are these Masons who are, you know, wanting to be buried in their aprons and their paraphernalia, so that they can go to the judgment of the damned. Again, it's a lack of knowledge. I just want to read an email that I got today, it deals with the darker side of Freemasonry in a way that most people don't see it, but I've run into this over and over and over again in my ministry. It says, "Dear Ed, I just read your articles about the Masonic Lodge. I'm very concerned as my husband is a member of the Masonic Lodge. I know he joined because friends of his are involved in it. I repeatedly told him not to join, but could not give a good reason as to why not to. He has now taken his third degree. This was done about 2 weeks ago. What has started to baffle me are certain signs. I have been awakened several nights, at least four nights this past month, by a strong, strange, terrible smell that has overpowered me while sleeping, and he has slept through all of this. I actually had to get out of my bed, get a candle I bought of frankincense and myrrh, and walk throughout my house burning it at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning. Yesterday I mentioned to him that I had been unable to sleep through many nights, but he is now starting to take me seriously. I know he is easily influenced, and although I have a strong Christian belief, I do pray every day throughout the day and do Bible readings. However, this seems to have a hold on the family and blocking our being blessed. Could you pray for my husband in this situation? And what's happening is these demonic manifestations are there, and this is what this woman is experiencing. This man is bringing demons into his house. He's bringing his paraphernalia into his house, and that paraphernalia acts like talisman, a door to the dark side coming into that woman's house. And because he is not an understanding Christian, and because she is a Christian without the knowledge of how to deal with this spiritually, that household is in disrepair. And that's when the disease comes. That's when the sickness comes. That's when the alcoholism starts it. And I see in Masonic homes over and over and over again the diseases and the homosexuality and alcoholism, the physical abuses and sexual depravity like homosexuality are fruits of Baal worship, and that's coming into these houses through these men, because their headship is no longer Jesus Christ, if it ever were. It is now Jobulon, the god of masonry, which is a Jehovah Baal Osiris deity, which is a demonic deity.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I was just the other evening, there's a new video out. I think it's you appear in it. I think it's called Written in Stone, something like that. And I was the first time I'd ever seen a picture of you. But they have all the pictures from Washington, D.C., of all the government buildings that have pictures of Baal on them. And the average individual has no idea how, of course, this influence of the occult permeates every aspect of our lives, including our nation's capital.
Well, I think you need to have your listeners go to my website and go to the Masonic, the Freemasonry section of my website.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment, Ed. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Ed Decker. We were just talking about a video he appears in. We'll be carrying it. It's called Riddles in Stone is the name of the new video put out by Chris Pinto, and we'll be having it. Our supply will be here in about 2 weeks. We've ordered them, but they're not available. Anyway, Ed is one of the stars of the video. But he was just saying that everybody should go to his website. If you doubt that the occult influence within Masonry, and what will they find when they get to your website, Ed?
Well, the one I want them to go to is called Freemasonry. Is it Satan's Door to America? And then in that is a map, the street map of Washington, D.C. And you'll see the Goat of Mindy's in the streets, purposely designed there. starting with the U.S. Capitol, and then the one leg of the Go to the Mindy's coming down the Jefferson Memorial, and the second one coming down on the White House, coming down straight down from the Capitol building through the Washington Monument, making a turn for the square of the emblem of Freemasonry, the square. It makes a turn through the White House and ends up at the House of the Temple on 16th. And then if you look at the White House, a pentagram in the streets goes from there through to the House of the Temple. The entire street layout of downtown Washington, D.C. Is designed by Masons who put it together in there, and with the inverted five-pointed star pentagram laying with its point, you know, facing the north, with the point down in true occult fashion, it sits within the intersections of Connecticut and Vermont Avenues. All these streets all come together. This is a Masonic emblem and an ancient symbol of witchcraft, this whole pentagram thing, and you'll find it sitting right on our White House.
And, of course, there are a lot of course, people who will scoff at this sort of thing. Well, that's just coincidence. The pentagram isn't complete. Look, there's an area there where a couple of streets are left out. And but, of course, you know, anything, of course, they cannot let the American people know the truth.
And I look at the work that went into you know, the layout. This was going to be a Masonic Republic by some of the designers of the government and the programs that were laid out. And again, the Capitol streets were laid out that way. It was done purposely. The Masons talk about it. It's not something that's hidden. It's not well known, but it's, you know, it's the same thing that we find on our dollar bill, and we find it on all the buildings. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And this was designed to bring in that influence and that occult power into our nation, into our government.
And of course, the thing is that literally every major building in Washington, D.C. has a Masonic cornerstone, and will have a Masonic plaque there, you know, acknowledging. But you could never have a plaque that would acknowledge the God of the Bible, the Christian God. But it's all right to have a plaque that honors the Masonic God, who is, of course, not the God of the Bible at all, but the God of the underworld, the prince of this world. And literally every major building there in Washington, D.C., from the Capitol building to the White House to all the major buildings, you know, have a cornerstone, a Masonic cornerstone.
Well, it's scary, you know, and just recently, in the beginning of February, a Muslim leader was at the... led the Democratic Congress people in a word of prayer, and basically with heads bowed reverently, they were led in prayer on the 2nd of February by a Muslim imam who essentially asked Allah to assist in converting the party members to Islam. And in this, he unveiled terms, to be sure, talked about the straight path, the path of those whom thou hast favored, not the path of those who earn thy anger, nor those who go astray. And you'll discover that the people who went astray are the Christians, and the ones who have earned Allah's anger are the Jews. And this imam just basically got up there and led them in a prayer of conversion to Islam. And they are so interested in making everything politically correct and accepting the peaceful Islam that they allowed themselves to be led through a prayer of conversion by a Muslim leader.
And, of course, once Christian America, of course,
try to have a Christian pastor come up and pray that way.
In fact, they just threw a Christian chaplain out of the service because, of course, he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's perfectly all right for an imam to pray in the name of Allah. That's all right at a government function. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble because we've lost the vision of what America was. It was at one time strongly Christian. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, the one thing that people don't understand is that at the time America was created as a nation, there were two forces here. One was the Christian, and the other was the occult, the Masonic, and, of course, the Masons were a continuation of the ancient mystery religions. So there was this dualism, in fact, down throughout the history of our nation. The two forces in constant conflict. Today, of course, the Christian influence is on the ebb, and the occult influence is really almost in total control of every aspect of our society. And the average Christian, although we're still predominantly Christian, the average Christian has no idea what's going on. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I was looking at the Oscars and all the carrying on about, you know, all these great people and the fawning and the carrying on over the presentation of some of films and themes and stuff that you wouldn't want your family to ever see. The more it is, the worse it is. Right now we're fighting, you know, with ourselves to stay calm about some guy who was doing a movie going to be presented on television this weekend on the actual true tomb of Jesus. Just one more thing to ridicule and attack Christianity. These guys are presenting a totally bogus presentation on something that doesn't even fit the time frame of when Jesus was around, but it's okay to go ahead and do this because it attacks Christianity and it has all the Christians in an uproar. But the Christians don't really do a whole lot in the uproar. They get upset and then they just sort of blink, and then these people can just continue on doing more and more, and we just sort of sit there like fools and don't do a thing about it.
Well, we're told we have to be tolerant. In fact, we should tolerate it. We should tolerate almost just about everything. The Muslims, we should tolerate the Muslim faith, and we should tolerate the atheists, and we should tolerate all the other faiths in the world. But the one thing we can't tolerate, of course, is intolerance, and the other thing is Christianity. And there really is a conspiracy against God. There's no question. Everything is being done to destroy the faith of our children. That is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and they're undermining the faith of the people of this country. And now we've, of course, got the secret, this phenomenon that being pushed by Oprah Winfrey and Larry King, where you can learn how to harness the entire universe at your disposal. And of course, we've been doing a number of programs on the secret. There is a secret, but not the one they're talking about. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ed Decker. Ed, at this point, let's once again give your web page out there and how people can get your books. Do you have any books or anything of that sort that you'd like to tell them
about? Well, they can find, you know, Past Facts and False Teachings is a book that is now about 350,000 copies out, and my co-author Ron Carlson and I cover something like 14 different cultic or groups or world religions like Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and so forth, and the book is an easy book to read. You can pick up a copy of that. Of course, The God Makers is still available. I wrote that with Dave Hunt, and that was done in 1980, and it's still selling like a regular new book. It's now probably over 700,000 copies out. My book, Question of Freemasonry, or Islam, the Mystery Religion, To Moroni with Love, Dealing with Mormons at Your Door and Neighborhood. Materials that I've put together over the years to help people understand how to reach these people, how to bring them out of the darkness into the light. And that's the call that's been on my life. Having been a Mormon, I understand how the Mormon people feel and how they think, and that's given me great insight on how to reach them for Jesus. I've been very successful over the years. But it takes a lot of hard work. But materials are all available on my website. If you write to me, you'll get an answer. May not be the next day, but you will get an answer. I'm leaving this week to go overseas. I'm not going to exactly say where I'm going because my life's been threatened there. But I'm going to an area that is very difficult to minister in and deal with the issues like Islam and Mormonism and Freemasonry. And Baptist. Until the Lord calls me home, that's what we do.
Well, I respect you for it, and certainly we'll keep in our prayers as far as your trip until your safety until you get back here. Well, as far as the what's going on today, certainly, America is changing. It's changing dramatically. It's not the America that I was raised in, 60, 65 years ago. And we're turning against God, and certainly my fear is that God is going to turn against this nation and withdraw his protection from us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm afraid you're right. The Christians are getting... The Christian church is complacent, and we have men out there like Rick Warren and others who, are talking about happiness and a positive confession and really dealing with taking Jesus and all that, but without repenting and without going through holiness. I moved toward holiness. We've moved away from holiness in the church, and it's pretty hard when you see a group of Christians together to determine that they're Christians instead of just people from the world. And it's a hard thing for my wife and me and our children and their families to always keep the Christian ethic in our work and all the things that we do. And I know my sons in the business world, they've had to walk away from business because of their Christian ethic. Fewer and fewer people are taking a stand, a strong stand against darkness and against evil and against hypocrisy. I write more letters a week to the press and I just wrote a letter to Pat Robertson. He's bringing Mitt Romney in to do the commencement services at Regent University. Mitt Romney, he's a high priest in the Mormon cult. We're standing there in his magic underwear, having sworn a blood oath to obey the prophet and to give all that he has for the kingdom of God, the implementation of the kingdom of God, which is in Mormon terminology, doublespeak. It is bringing in the theocratic government in which the Mormon Church takes control of the United States of America, and they do this by bringing in the political and the ecclesiastic movements together under one prophet. And Mitt Romney sworn blood oaths that sacrificed his own life, everything he has, to the purpose of bringing in that kingdom of God and the United Order of the Last Days of Mormonism. And he's speaking at Regent University.
Well, I think, it's really quite revealing that none of the major Christian leaders will back Ron Paul, who is a Christian. And Ron Paul, I think, in many respects, espouses the belief of the vast majority of Christians as far as the pro-life position, but as far as fiscal responsibility, as far as politics, as far as conservatism, as far as limiting the power of government, and certainly on every moral and financial and political issue, I find that he's on the right side. And yet when Jerry Falwell lists the Republican candidates, he doesn't even mention Ron Paul. He mentions at least three Republican candidates, who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations,
right,
but
yeah.
He doesn't mention Ron Paul. Certainly I would expect that Pat Robertson, who of course, certainly wants the accolades of the world, is not going to mention Ron Paul. None of the major Christian leaders are mentioning Ron Paul, who is the only person I see on the political scene on the Republican side, and certainly and there's no one on the Democrat side, but the only person on the Republican side who is consistently in favor of our Constitution. And he's known as Dr. No in Congress, and of course he's ridiculed by people like George Will, who said, of course, this is sort of like just sort of a throwback to these ideas that the Constitution is, should be interpreted as it's written. I mean, what an absurd idea to believe that we should believe in what the Constitution says. And, of course, that the federal government does not have the right to do whatever it wants to do. And the president doesn't have the right to do whatever he wants to do. The idea that there's restrictions placed on the government, what an outmoded idea. You know, this disturbs me, Ed. Why aren't our Christian leaders backing at least...
I don't know. One of the largest Christian television networks, TBN, had Romney on, and Paul Krause sat there knee-to-knee with him and said, this is a very moral man, and he should get all of our votes. You know, he just endorsed him. And yet, the funny part about it is that TBN and Paul Krause knows exactly what Mormonism is. Why would a man who knows exactly what Mormonism is sit there and endorse a high priest of the Mormon cult?
Oh, I can't give you the answer. Well, let's open the lines here in case people would like to call in. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive, a ministry and certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the country as far as not only Masonry but Mormonism and there are a number of other cults. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? What's their relationship to Masonry?
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses walk around with such a dark spiritual cloud over them that they don't really need Freemasonry, but Freemasonry is part of, just like as it is with Mormonism, you get back into it and you find out that its leadership was all involved in Freemasonry, and it's nothing new under the sun. And it's a spiritual darkness. It's a way. What does the Bible say? There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's what we're dealing with these people. They bring in Freemasonry leaders, and these Freemasonry leaders then put together what seems right to a man, and they wrap it around Scripture, and it starts drawing people in. And they become spiritual slaves to a spiritual darkness, and that's what the Mormons are, and that's what the Moonies are, and that, you know, just go on down the list, and you'll find Freemasonry, and it's brothers and sisters throughout the world. You know, going back to the time of Jesus, the Essenes were the Gnostics of that day. You know, they had secret symbols and secret words and so forth. And if you go into Israel and you look in the areas where they stayed, in the caves and so forth, and the towns, you discover that they were also called the apron wearers. It's the same thing that you find. You go back into the cult of Osiris back in Egypt, and they were the apron wearers with the mystical signs and shakes and rituals and so forth. There's nothing new under the sun, and these deviant groups are all tied to the same root, and it's a form of satanic worship, every bit of it.
One of my friends was over in Israel, and he was there to see the Knesset, and whether it was in the building where the Knesset is or the Israeli Supreme Court, I'm not sure, but there, if you you look out a window, and there you can see that all-seeing eye in the triangle, the glorified eye that we see on the back of the American dollar bill. And of course, they use this. They hide their symbols in plain sight. We see them every day, and we have no idea what their significance is any more than the average American who uses a dollar bill has any idea of the significance, or this new Washington coin, gold coin they're putting out. But they forgot something on it. It's on all the other coins. It says, "In God we trust." But I guess it's in this one where we're just trusting George Washington. They've taken that reference out of our coinage now. Isn't that interesting? And isn't it interesting that nobody mentions they've taken "In God we trust" off? What about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill? The incomplete pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. What's the significance of that?
Oh, boy, you got me late at night on that one, Dr. Stan. There's so many different symbols that are on the dollar bill. And you notice the all-seeing eye on top, and you count 13 steps up, and you count the numbers of stone, and you get to the 33rd degree, and the symbolism is buried throughout the whole thing. And there are, you know, people who want to get in really into the detail, just go into go to your web and go to Google and just type in U.S. dollar bill and put Mason as a word, and it'll give you 15 different places where You can go in there and you can look at every tiny little thing that the Masons have put in there. Again, we just go accustomed to it. We're passing that through our hands, you know, it's unique because they own the money, you know, and the men that control the money are the people who bow down to the altar of Jobulon.
And of course, the thing is that this was actually put on the back of the dollar bill in the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1782. And initially, it was the first design for the Great Seal, and this was to be the back of the Great Seal. It was made up by Jefferson and Franklin, and I believe Adams. But there they had the eye, the glorified eye, and then of course they had the symbols of I don't know whether it was Venus. They had a couple of the Greek gods there, but then it was later on a man who was deeply involved with Masonry who came up with the emblem that we see on the back of the dollar bill.
Well, it goes further than that. I mean,
for 6,000 years.
I was at the American Cemetery in Manila some years ago, and I was looking at the Wall of Honor and each of the buried men that had the Congressional Medal of Honor, there was three dots, and I recognized those three dots in one of the code books of Masonry, and I did a study on it and discovered that the Congressional Medal of Honor was designed by the Masons, and it's an inverted five-pointed star, the pentagram, the same thing that sits on top of the White House. And again, it just runs shudders down your spine. But I want to say something here, and the Bible tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I walk a life of victory and not a life of fear. My children walk lives of victory and not lives of fear. We have the opportunity in these last days, as the turmoil begins, to reach out and bring more and more people into the kingdom of God, the real kingdom of God. And so I look forward to some of these things, because I know that if God is in it and God plans it and God allows these things to take place, then we're getting what we deserve, number one, and number two, we're getting closer and closer to that last day, at the end of days. And it puts an urgency in each of us who are evangelical, zealots, that every day is precious to see one more person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as I have the Lord, it doesn't matter what comes against me, I'm safe.
Amen to that.
Even if my life is taken, I'm safe. And so I have no fear. I do caution, obviously. But I have no fear for my life because it's in the Lord's hand, and we know these things are taking place. We can see the handwriting that's been on the wall, and the great nation of the United States that could be a Christian nation that could change the world has become the world and has given up. And we've allowed the liberal press, we've allowed the liberal officials who we put into office who don't seem to ever get out of office, like Ted Kennedy and others. We've allowed these people to come in and determine what we can do and what we can't do. And it's time for the church to rise up. But it was a pathetic response in the last election as far as what the Christian church did. As much as we worked and as much as we, in the pastoral roles, spoke out about issues, we still couldn't get the vote out, and that's pathetic.
It certainly is. Well, let's go to Jack, who's calling here from Michigan. Jack, you have a quick question.
Yes, Dr. Stan. Wondering if Ed could review whether the 13th rite of Freemasonry constitutes a wedding ceremony of the initiate to Satan, commemorated by a special Masonic ring.
Now, what is the 13th? You're talking about the 13th degree?
Yes, yes.
All right. Are you acquainted with the 13th degree, Ed?
I'm trying to think if that's the Knights of the East and the West. The caller, do you remember what that is?
No, sir. I just remember Ralph Epperson mentioned that in the past, that there was a wedding ceremony that weds the initiate to Satan, commemorated by a special ring.
They don't really say that they're doing it to Satan. And what you're getting is you're getting a bonding and coming into a oneness with with the great architect of the universe, right. who is Jobulon, and in the Royal Arch degree, you learn on the Scottish Rite, you learn that his name is Jobulon, which stands for Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris, and so you're being wed to Jobulon, and you're not really in a sense of a wedding ceremony, but the symbolism of it, and a number of other things, programs that they have also, the symbolism is as though you were wed to him, but you are bound to him by oath in that degree. That's what Ralph was talking about, I think.
And certainly, of course, when we marry, well, we take an oath to God, to love, honor, and obey, and until death do us part. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Jack. We're just out of time.
It's the same thing that the Mormons do in the Mormon temple ceremony, in which they swear oaths to sacrifice and to be obedient to be in the total control of the prophet.
Hold that thought. Well, Ed, we've got just 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program before we let you go.
Well, in 3 minutes, all we can really say is that these things are in place. But, you know, the power of prayer in this nation, it's like my home church. We have 3 prayer vigils every single day, including Saturday. And on Saturday night, we have as many as 500 or 600 people in church praying for the nation and for the president and for the nations, and Sunday mornings before the services and during the services there's prayer going on every single day of the week. And there are more and more churches that need to get involved in that kind of prayer, because prayer is stopping the sickle. And we have to understand that we who know what prayer does, we have to go before the throne and plead the cause of our nation.
And I'm sure you're absolutely right. Of course, we have to understand that our God is far more powerful than the occult forces on the other side. But the occult forces appear to be winning, because, of course, the Christian church has been pretty much neutralized. And it doesn't have to be.
Well, I always feel that there's going to be a great shaking of the Christian church coming pretty soon. And then they're going to either go and take a mark or stand up against the beast, because that's what's coming.
Amen to that. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and I don't think we're going to have to wait an awfully long time. I believe we're approaching that climax of history. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel the same way, and I just say, come soon, Jesus. I look at my precious little grandchildren, and I just look at them, and I think, oh, I'm so glad that I was born back in the 30s. That I didn't have to go through what they're going to go through, but they have already they have a strength of faith, and you can't even get to dinner without them saying grace and praying over things, and they're just little babies, really, and our children have to raise them up to be stronger than we ever were.
And I would believe that we have an obligation to try to bring everyone we can into the kingdom of God. And the time we have allotted to us, but certainly we have an obligation to protect our family. And we can make all the material preparations we want to. But the most important we can make would be the spiritual preparation for the very, very difficult times that lie before us. Ed Decker, thank you so very much for being with us.
God bless you.
And you too, and just have a wonderful, safe trip. We'll look forward to talking to you when you get home.
Actually, I think I'm going to talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And
okay.
Anyway, bye-bye. Good night. God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is predominantly listener-supported. And we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out 5 hours every day on radio somewhere in America, 4 hours every day on shortwave, and 5 hours every day on the Internet, and 9 hours every day on the satellite. That's Telstar 5. If you want to know more about that, you can go to our website and learn about it, or give us a call. But we have a unique opportunity to help people to understand not only the political and psychological and cultural battle, but the spiritual battle that's being waged today. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Where do you start? Well, you really want to start reading my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then, of course, you're getting either the DVD or audio tape that goes with it. It all tells the same story. You can get any one of them and learn the basic story of it, how this all fits together. And if you've ever wondered what's really going on in the world, is there something other factor out there? Well, you read the book, you'll find out what that force and factor is. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to study our material up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. If you want to understand the population control agenda, the genocidal agenda that's out there, that actually antedates what's coming. There is going to be a mass effort to exterminate the majority of the people in the world. You need to certainly watch my talk on planned population reduction, or our video on population control, or our 4-tape set on population control, or our population control special, which has all sorts of fascinating material available. To understand the current war in the Middle East, you need to listen to my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. To understand sustainable development and this whole scam of global warming, we've got a great 4-tape set on global warming, and we'll be updating that very, very soon. But you need to hear our talk and get our 4-tape set and our syllabus on sustainable development, because there is a master plan. It's called the Earth Charter, and we go into the background and discuss it, what it's really all about. The other side has written it all out for us. Isn't that nice? The most powerful and wealthy people in the world are on the other side. Because if you give your life to Satan, you'll be well rewarded. You will have great wealth and great prosperity. And you'll live a great life here on earth. And you'll spend eternity in hell. You need to get, we have a great book. It's called 90 Minutes in Heaven. We recommend it. And, of course, you can get my interview with the author, Don Piper. We interviewed him this last week. And then we have another 4-tape set. It's called Whatever Happened to Hell. And there's a little book written by Kathy Burns that by the same title. And so you see the two sides. One, the side of the Christian promise. The other, of course, what happens to those who've turned against God. And then, of course, how do we begin to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead? Well, we've started carrying a book. It's called The Hiding Place. It's the story of Corrie Ten Boom, who was just a young girl living in Denmark when the Nazis came, she and her family hid Jews to keep them from being taken to the concentration camps and executed. And what happened when she herself, of course, was sent to the concentration camp. And I think it's got a wonderful, wonderful message in it, and we recommend The Hiding Place. It's an old book, but with a message in it that will last for eternity. So, again, let me encourage you to go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, call 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.